All right, so in case any of you guys don't know me, I'm Zach. I just a little bit about myself. I just graduated from DeLand last year. I'm at Daytona State now. This is about like my ninth retreat, which is like crazy. I'm like so old and stuff, but you guys are like halfway through one. I've done that 18 times. And then I got a younger brother and an older sister. So yesterday we heard Jessica's talk that, you know, God's calling all of us to a life with Him. Like we each were made for a life in Him and with Him, and He like specifically made each one of us, and that He's calling us to be with Him. And today we learned that Jesus is the way to the Father and to that relationship. All we have to do is just accept Him. And we're always called to be more like Christ in our everyday lives, like in our communities, when we're the friends, our families, even when we're alone. And this talk is pretty much just for me to look at like how well I'm following Christ and how well I have Christ in my everyday life, and how well I'm like doing and keeping Him in my plans and in everything I do. And it's called the Day by Day Talk. For the reason I just said, because, you know, like, day by day, am I living my life with Christ? So I have a question, like, why do we follow somebody? Like, what's the reason you guys, like, want to follow somebody?
They show
a better way. They show that they're cool. First would say cool. I agree. I want to follow people when they're cool. What else? You guys got anything else? Why do you want to follow someone?
Inspire you,
yeah.
Because it's easier to follow them.
Amen, brother. I agree there.
Whatever you want to follow someone.
Is there you? Well, I want to follow you too, right?
If they're rich.
Yeah, they're rich. I agree. And like all these things like popularity, like if you see someone that's cool, like you're gonna kinda wanna follow them. Or like someone that's popular at school, you're gonna wanna follow them and be like them. Because we look up to people, you know, we have like as humans, we have a tendency to like look up to people and want to be more like people that are like successful. And like Scotty said in his talk, we want to be like the successful people, like people that are on top of society. I know like for me personally, like someone that I want to follow is like some dude with like luscious curly hair. He's about like 6 foot tall, glasses, beautiful, gets a lot of girls. But someone that I actually always looked up to is someone named Logan Wishart. Now, most of you guys here probably won't know him because he's 2 years older than me. When I was here in your guys' position, I started coming to Antioch afterwards. And this was my freshman and sophomore year in high school. Sophomore year, I started wrestling. That's what a lot of my friends did. And Logan was an amazing wrestler. He'd been wrestling for most of his life. He had an amazing like leadership role in this Antioch in our group. Everyone looked up to him. He gave like amazing talks, and like he really was like a changed man. Like he went from like being like a really bad kid, and then like he came on a retreat and like found Christ, and like he completely turned his life around. So there was like all these things that like I admired about him. You know, the fact that he was a great wrestler, he had great faith, like, but also like he was amazing in school. This kid, he slept like three hours tops a night, and like that's goals. First off, like I want to be able to stay up till like let's say 3 o'clock, and then be able to just sleep till 6. And like he was fine. He had like he was still like so crazy and stuff. And he was also in IB. He's at Notre Dame right now, which is like crazy. So like I was looking up to him like school and stuff. So I wanted to hang out with him. Like I wanted to be more like him. And so following Christ is like pretty similar to that. Like we see things that we like stuff we've seen this weekend. I know we had a group question of like, why, what do you guys like about this community so far? Like a lot of people I heard said like the energy and like the love and like that everyone was genuine. And that's the love of Christ that we feel. Christ is giving us a personal invitation to follow Him and to have a life with Him. And like all we have to do is just say yes. I have a Bible verse that has really spoke to me, and it's Matthew chapter 19. We'll start at verses 16 to 21, and then I'll read the rest later. This is the parable of the rich young man. Now someone approached him and said, "Teacher, what good must I do to gain eternal life?" He answered him, "Why do you ask me about the good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He asked him, "Which ones?" Jesus replied, "You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell everything you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." So, you know, there's this guy, and he asks Jesus, "What do I have to do to go to heaven, have eternal life?" And Jesus tells him all the commandments. He says, "Lord, I follow all those commandments." And Jesus says to him, "Go sell everything you have, give it all to the poor, and then come and follow me." Now that's crazy, first of all. Like, if God came to us today, if God came to me today and said, "Hey, Zach, give away everything you have," and like, I'm only 18, so of course I don't have a ton of things, but if he said, "Give away, you know, like, your, my friends, my popularity," like, I'm not really super popular or anything, but all of these things, and like, he asked me, that's really hard. I mean, I'm sure a lot of us agree, if God came to us today and was like, "Give away everything you have," like, that's really hard. That's really hard to say, like, yes to, like, that's a challenge. I'm going to go on and read more now. This is verses 22. When the young man heard this statement, he went away sad, forgetting many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For human beings this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Peter said to him in reply, "We have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" Jesus answered to him, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, when the Son of the Man is seated on his throne of glory, you yourselves will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses, or brothers or sisters, or father or mother, or children or lands, for the sake of my name, will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." So, you know, it said it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the little needle, or the point of a needle. You know, Jesus says that if you drop everything and follow him, that you will have eternal life. And that you will gain 100-fold, 100 times what we have now. And that's, like, that's amazing. Because, like I said, it's really hard to say, like, "Yes, Lord, like, I'll give up everything I have." But, I mean, like, that's a good payoff. You know what I'm saying? That's like, have you seen, like, those videos where, like, they give a little kid a marshmallow and say, "If you don't eat it for, like, 10 minutes, you get, like, 2 marshmallows. Like, if we give up everything we have now and follow him, we have eternal life and we have 100 times what we have now. In the Passion, there was the guy who helped Jesus carry his cross. And I want to be more like that guy who helped him carry his cross than I want to be like the rich man who had, like, cares more about his riches and his fame, his status, than I do about my relationship with God and loving others. I want to be, you know, he stopped all the guards. When all the guards were, you know, hitting him, stabbing him, whipping him, you know, that's me sinning, you know? I don't want to be those guards anymore. Like, I don't want to be the one that's like, for every little thing I do, when I lie to my parents, when I hurt someone. You know, I want to be like, the one that stops and stands up for God. And that's a struggle, but, you know, that's something that, like, I aspire to, and, like, I always work hard for it. But in this Bible verse, like, the amazing thing about it to me is, like, it gives me hope, because no matter where we are, if we just give up everything and just say, "Lord, you know, you are my Savior," then we'll have eternal life. And that's pretty amazing. And a life in Jesus is a life of perfection. There's no better way. So I'm going to go into my personal evaluation now. I'm going to be reflecting on my life and all the specific things I do in my life and how I'm following God day to day. And I invite you guys, as I'm going through it, there's a lot of struggles and things that I'll be talking about. And think about those struggles in your life and any others that, you know, areas of your life that you could use improvement in to, you know, have God in your everyday life. And I'm starting off with the gifts that God has given us, you know, just the gift of life with how I treat my mind and my body. So, first thing is, you know, like drinking and drugs. And like, you know, why we talk about drinking and drugs on a church retreat. But, you know, I'm here to tell you guys that, you know, I've fallen victim to these things. It's hard to say no, especially once you start. So my kind of like friend group that I've always been like the closest with is like the wrestlers, because like I said, I started wrestling sophomore year. And the group, a couple above us, you know, when they were seniors and when I went off to college, they started doing things, you know, they started drinking, they started smoking and, you know, doing stuff like that. So, you know, our group kind of started, you know, we looked up to them, so we started kind of doing these things. And it progressively got worse. You know, it started as I didn't do anything until my junior year. That was the first time I really drank alcohol. And, you know, it started off as, you know, like once every couple months. And then, because we just kind of said we only do it on occasion, like when they came down or something. And then we got to the point where we would just do it, like, oh, only once a month. Oh, only once a week on weekends. And then, you know, it just keeps, like, pushing the boundaries farther and farther of what we're going to do. Until it got to the point where, you know, I was at the point where I was smoking like almost every day, and it kind of just like desensitizes you, because like I like kind of just didn't see why it was wrong. You know, I'm hanging out with my friends, and what's the difference between if we play video games or if we just like smoke? You know, there's nothing like wrong with it. I'm not hurting anyone. But the truth is that I was like hurting myself in the temple, because our bodies are temples of God that He created us. And I was poisoning that temple that He gave me, that amazing gift. And in this time, I didn't realize it then, but I can see it now for sure. This time of my life when I was, you know, doing these things and I got worse, I completely didn't even have a prayer life. Like, it got to the point where I didn't pray. I went to church. I never really stopped going to church. I mean, there were a couple times where I just kind of got lazy and missed it. Like, after prom, we had a hotel down there, and I was like, oh, it's okay, it's prom, I don't have to go to church tomorrow. And, like, it just, like, every time, like I said, like, one by one thing, we keep pushing the boundary until, like, we're like, so far away from God. Like,
bless you.
Bless you. One of the problems with it is that, like, I know a lot of people say, like, I always argue against the fact that, like, you know, smoking up on our system is a behavior. Like, no, it's not a behavior. I'm never going to do anything. But it really is. And, like, if I never started drinking, I never started smoking. If I never started drinking, I never would have started smoking. And, like I said, if I keep pushing that boundary, like, next thing you know, I'll be like a meth head. You know what I'm saying? So in this time where I was like separated from God, I was actually like, I didn't get like hardcore depressed, but like I was just like, I was sad. And like, I'm a pretty like positive and happy person. And I don't know, I was at a low point in my life, and I realized it was a spiritual low for sure. But I never, you know, connected the dots that was the reason. I'll come back to that and talk a little bit more about that. But the next thing, the next gift that I have had trouble with is like driving. You know, when I started driving, like my mom was always like, hey, you're like a really good driver. And, like, I picked it up fast. And so I guess I kind of got like a big head that I was like a really good driver. So, you know, I like going fast. Like, who doesn't like going fast? I like going fast, like bobbing weed in and out of the cars. You know, I'm like the Dale Jr. of the land. And I started doing that, and then it also, after a couple, like, I feel like a year of driving, I started like checking my phone at nights because I was like, I'm stopped. Like, what's the problem? And then the next thing I know, the light would turn green, so I had to finish my text. And the next thing I know, the light turned green, and I had to finish my really long text. And then I was like, oh, there's no cars in front of me. I can just keep texting. And I was like, oh, there's no one else in the room. And like, I just kept pushing the boundary, and just every time I do that, it just brings me farther away from God. And over the summer, I rear-ended someone, and like, it was a crappy situation. I was just kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time, but I actually got really lucky because I didn't really think about like the fact of like how serious driving is, because like I could like take someone's life in the instant of that. Like, I've been texting before, and I look up on him in the other lane, and I swerve back. Or I'm like, I've like literally had my right tires like go off the road. Like, I only think I count two hands how many times it's happened. And like, I don't really think about it, but like, if someone's walking by, or like, if I swerve into another lane, like cars are like, that's a serious matter, and you could kill someone literally in the snap of a finger. And like, is it really worth like texting or like Snapchatting them? Like, I didn't really realize it. But like, how bad would I feel if I took someone's life? Like, if anyone else in here struggles with that, if anyone else in here like is bad with driving, that's, I don't know. When I like realize that and I kill someone, like, that's like serious to me. So I'm working on that because, you know, that's a pretty big deal. The next thing is school. And I've always been on like the smarter side. When I was like a gifted when I was younger, I started at IB in Deland, if you know what that is, 9th and 10th grade. And I was always smart, but I always had a really bad work ethic. Biggest procrastinator, you know. Like, I promise I don't think there's anyone who's like worse than me. I just didn't make school a priority, and so I started like not doing assignments, and like, of course this led to junior year I failed a college class. And at the time I was like, oh, I just failed a class, like it'll be whatever, like just like it's like a high school class. But it was at DSC where I'm now. Like, it really affected me. And it got to the point where like every once in a while, like I have a breakdown about school. Like if I miss like a paper deadline that was due, I would like, you know, I kind of break down, and like all these things were pretty much just like affected by, well, not all these things, but so my school especially was affected by me smoking, because I would like leave my house on days I know I have like a 500-word like essay due by midnight, and I would like get home at like 10 after like youth group or something, and then I'd be like, oh, yeah, I should probably write this paper, but I was like, but my friend just texted me asking me if I wanted to hang out, so I was like, might as well go over there, like, and like, obviously, I was too focused on like doing those things instead of school, and that obviously just, you know, tore me apart. Next part is friends and habits and stuff, and this is always something that I've struggled with, mainly because of that group of wrestlers, because that's my main group, and you tend to, you know, your everyday activities and habits, they form patterns. So if I keep, you know, I have like a couple things listed, like music, movies, hanging out, studying, hobbies, all these things, if you start doing them like a hobby, then it starts forming a pattern. And that's what happened with me smoking and like, you know, doing bad things. It's like I started doing it once or twice and I did it more and more. And it just kept, it formed a pattern of doing it a lot. And that's what dragged me down. But my two main groups of friends, I have the wrestlers, and then I have like my hangout group. And in my grade, I just graduated last year, so most of them are gone, but there was like 8 of us that were all in the same grade, and we would always be like pretty close and hang out. And then I have like another group of like younger friends as well. And after we went on a mission trip to South Carolina this summer, and for like the whole month after the mission trip, I literally didn't talk or hang out with any of my like wrestler friends once. And like, I can honestly say that was like one of the best times of my life. And I didn't realize until afterwards, but I was like, my friends like hung out and they were like, where have you been? And I was like, what do you mean? They're like, you haven't hung out in like 3.5 weeks or something like that. And I was like, really? And like, it just didn't feel like that long. And it's because I was like, you know, I was feeling it was like I was doing good things. Because no matter what like anyone says, like your friends are gonna have an influence on what you do. I was so convinced that because I came to church, because I was in Antioch, that the wrestlers did bad things, but because I love Jesus, I wouldn't do them. You know, I would be better than them. They would get drunk. I would just drink a little bit, but that makes me better. But my Antioch friends were obviously like had a positive influence on me, and like we always did good things, and like we honestly brought each other closer to Christ. But my wrestlers became, I mean, we started off very positive, but as we started doing more things like that, it became negative. And the question is, you know, like, do your guys' friends bring you closer to Christ? Like, who are you hanging out with? Like, hanging out with the right group? And if not, you know, I said this in another talk, I believe it was a junior year, when I was struggling with this, and I said, oh, I'm just gonna, like, stop hanging out with my friends because they're bad kids. And, like, that's hard, and it's harder to bring people up, because I've always, I don't want to just leave them, because I feel bad, because I don't want them to get worse. I've always tried to help them, and I've, like, brought them to church and stuff, but, I mean, that still doesn't change too many things in their lives and what they do. And it's way easier for people to drag someone down than it is to lift someone up. And that's pretty much what happens. I just got dragged down. And also, like, if you guys are ever like trying to do that, always like be with someone. Because, you know, strength in numbers, like, if I go into a group of people and I'm trying to, like, you know, do something, if I'm alone, it's so much harder than if you have someone with you. So the next part that's, you know, really the big one, bless you, is sexuality. Now, it's not sex, but I'll explain to you guys later. So I've always, you know, we use the term sexuality here a lot in talks at retreat, and I've never really understood what the difference between sex and sexuality is, like, what is sexuality? So, you know, there's sex, you know, like, the action, and then there's also, like, sex and gender, and it's different from those. Looked up a definition. Sexuality is a part of a person. It's not physical. It's the total expression of who you are as a human. It begins at birth and ends at death. A person's sexuality includes their attitudes, values, knowledge, and behaviors. So, like, you guys see, like, how, like, sexuality is, like, the whole, you know, like, the inside, you know, like, our feelings towards those things, kind of, instead of, like, the actual, like, activated. So, it asked me what my personal dreams and my future are, and this is, like, these are things that I'm actually pretty passionate about. One of my, definitely my biggest goal in life is to, like, have an amazing family. I want a wife who's my best friend, you know, we get along, she loves everything about me, and I love everything about her. And then, I would love to have, like, a ton of little Zacks running around. I just think that'd be amazing to, you know, show the love of a father. Because, like, the love of a father to a son is, like, one of the greatest loves there is. Like, we know that from Jesus. And so I'd love to have, you know, I want to have a big old family. You know, me and my brother are, like, pretty much the last, like, Lodis. And, you know, I want to restart that whole legacy and have a ton of kids and stuff. And the biggest thing is I want to have a happy marriage that we work through problems. Because the divorce rate nowadays is, like, insane, as we all know. And I don't want to be a part of that statistic, because I want to actually, like, have someone that I care about, and, like, I want a whole life. And everything that we do now, like I said, it's going to form patterns. How we express our sexuality now is, you know, how it's going to be in the future. So, you know, if we don't respect women now, like, you're not just going to be all of a sudden just be like, oh, okay, we're good. Dating is God's, you know, well, not God's way, but I mean, it's, dating is supposed to prepare us for marriage. Nowadays, like, I know a lot of people just date people to do stuff and just have fun, but God gave us that gift to, you know, prepare for marriage and, like, to see that if you want to spend the rest of your life with them. So I've never been, like, super, I've never, like, dated a ton of girls and stuff. All through high school, I always kind of just wanted to, like, you know, I was just always, like, alone. And, like, I had opportunities to, but I just never, like, had any use for it. I didn't care that much. And I pretty much only, I've only dated one girl. And I dated her in 10th grade, and then I'm dating her again now. We've been dating for a couple months. And it's rough because, you know, like, our society, like, always peer pressures us. Whether we're single or in a relationship. I'm sure, like, anyone here who's in a relationship or even who isn't, there's so much pressure to, you know, like physically do stuff with the person you're in a relationship with or just with people. And like the reason is like the devil is just like tempting us with like temporary pleasure. And that's, he just tries to make it look so good, and that's why I'm saying it looks good, it looks fun, it looks good, it's what's cool and popular. But I actually hold my like virginity to like a pretty high importance. I heard a story once about he's married now and has a lot of kids, and he told me that when he finally had like a talk with like, his wife, he had to tell her that, you know, he had sex with like another woman before he dated her, or before her. And he said that was like probably the hardest moment in his life, is the day he had to look the woman he spent the rest of his life with in the eyes and say, you're not the person I'm living with. And that hit me pretty hard, because like, I don't ever want to have to do that. But, you know, society is trying to make it okay. And like the big thing is like, you know, porn kills marriages, kills relationships. And I struggle with it like crazy. Like I can't get up here and lie, but I know it's a big struggle between everyone, or over most men. And the problem with it is that it puts lust above love. In Jessica's talk, she told us about how God made us all in his image, and we don't want to, you know, like, females are still, like, they're not objects, they're God's creations. And we don't want to just view them as objects or just physical things. You know, God gave us the gift of sex for a man and a woman for marrying. It's an amazing gift that, you know, it's supposed to be sacred between, you know, two married people. And I have, like, some facts that, like, really, like, hit home for me about it, and, like, some of these are crazy. So, there was a University of Montreal, and they conducted a study on men in their 20s. And they tried to, asked men all over, and they couldn't find a single person that hasn't been before. And, like, that's crazy. There's not a single person that hasn't. The sex industry is the most profitable industry in the world. More profitable than the NFL, NBA, and MLB combined, and NBC, CBS, ABC combined. This was one of the craziest ones to me. Is half of the internet, half of things on the internet are porn or porn-related content, and like out of all the things on the internet, and porn is half of it. That's crazy. And you know, all right, raise your hand if you have been on Netflix in the past week. If you keep your hand up. Also, like, if you Twitter in the past week. Yeah. And then, put your hand up if you've been on Netflix, Twitter, or Facebook in the past week. All right. Porn sites receive way more visitors than all three of those combined. And that's crazy, because, like, those are, like, small things. Like, people go on that all the time. Like, porn seems more than that. And it just, like, honestly, it just ruins true love. It focuses on physical instead of, you know, the inner beauty that, you know, God made us have. So, it asked how I saw my current dating situation compared to how I want my marriage. And I'm actually kind of proud of what I've been doing. Like I said, society is a lot of pressure, especially with my friends, because a lot of my friends have like done stuff with girls. And like sometimes I'm like, man, like I really should have done with this girl. Man, I really should have dated more girls, because, you know, it's more fun. It would have been cooler. I would have been more experienced. But when I think about it, like all those things would have just, you know, ruined my relationship with God. And I really want to save myself for marriage and like for the woman of my dreams, because, you know, those habits that we set up now, I don't want to treat women poorly. I really like don't like when guys like use women or something. Like Jessica said in her talk, like that was really sad. how, you know, what she said, and I never want to, you know, make another human feel like that. So, it says family relationships, and these relationships that God's given us, you know, these are like the relationships that He's put in our lives. God's given us these relationships, and I honestly have like, my family struggles. My parents got divorced when we were like in eighth and ninth grade. It's a couple years long, and it was like honestly like a pretty like angry and like brutal like divorce. Like it wasn't just like, oh, parents got divorced, they don't live with each other anymore. They were constantly fighting, and like it just was like, that's where our life was centered around for a couple years. So we've always kind of struggled, especially with things like communication, and solving problems and like spending quality time with each other. And you know, like how I, you know, put myself in those relationships affects like, you know, like how I'm gonna value all my relationships. And I need to, you know, like actually be more patient with my family. Like I feel like that's a big thing for a lot of people. Short tempered and stuff. And now that I'm 18, like I have like a big struggle with like independence. Because you know, I want to do my own thing. I don't want to have to do chores. I don't want my mom to control me anymore because I'm 18, but I'm a man now. But like, you know, that's still my mom. That's still the woman that like gave birth to me. And I just don't really respect her. And I'm never gonna really like respect any really future relationship I'm gonna have. I'm not respecting the ones that God's given me now. So in order to fix all these things, I need to make a commitment. Because if I don't make a commitment and I just say like I want to get better at something, you know, I want to be nicer to people, like if you don't make like a concrete plan, nothing's ever gonna change. And after like looking back and seeing like all those things and how they affect me, I don't want to go back to that. I don't want to have that negativity again. So my commitment is that I'm giving up drinking and smoking for good, just because all those things like relationships and just school and everything, like that tore me apart from all those things. So I just moved my focus, one, away from those things, and two, I shifted my focus to God. And you know, like the passion, like that was super like a strong movie, because it showed like His love for us. Like Zoe said in her talk, every time we sin was, you know, as they drove those nails into His hand. And every time I, you know, drink and smoke, like I'm ripping myself away from Him and the people that actually love me and care about me. So I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I'm hanging out with my friends and I'm never going to do it. Those are always the times when I tend to fail. Replacing all the times that I'm doing that with prayer and time with family and like the good friends, and their friends that like, care about me and help me be better. And when I fail, I know it's going to happen. It's already happened since I made my commitment, and you know, I feel guilty about that. But you know, a sinner is a saint, a saint is a sinner who just, you know, you just got to get up one more time and you fail. And you know, that's my plan. When I fail, I'm going to go to confession, you know, apologize to God, and become better. So if you guys have any struggles that you guys, you know, something I touched on in this talk or something else, I've asked you guys all, you know, to think about a commitment and a way to start improving it. And, you know, that's my way to have a better relationship with God and to live the day-to-day life in Christ.